Thank you for coming to the seminar, and what amazing talks we've had already from Liz, and I was in the one on doubt, the seminar on doubt, and I'm thrilled to be here, thrilled that you're all here. My name's Elspeth, I work for a church in Leeds, and I'm going to be talking to you on meditating on the Word. So you may have come to this particular seminar because you're feeling burnt out and stressed. And even as I say those words, I'm kind of leaning onto my lectern because it's pretty much how I feel. You're feeling tired and weary. Or maybe you've come because you're going through heartache and you're going through doubt, like we heard about in this morning's seminar. Or you're going through some kind of trial or suffering. Whichever one of those best describes you, I hope that this time out in God's Word will help you begin to know what it means to rest in God and to trust Him again and to know His peace again. You have here on the two sheets, you've got some instructions which we'll look at later. Don't get distracted by those now. You've got Psalm 139, and you've got a sheet that says meditating on the Word. This was the outline I did about a month ago, and my talk's pretty much changed since then. So it does, it does follow 3 points before we do the meditation. And in fact, I'm moving the one on suffering up to before the meditation as well. So if you want to write on that sheet, you can, and I'll mention those numbers in case you're doing that, but otherwise write in the booklets that you've been given, and that will be fine. So my first point is that we are made to be dependent. We have a gospel of peace as Christians, that Jesus came to put us back in right relationship with God. Yet our lives so often contradict this truth. Most of us carry around a shedload of anxiety and worry. Christ has won for us the incredible privilege of calling the almighty creator of the universe, Abba, Father, Daddy. We're supposed to depend on this Heavenly Father for all our needs, but we still prefer to run our own show in our own strength. Jen Wilkin, in her book, None Like Him, says this: sanctification is the process of learning increasing dependence on God. Only God is meant to be omnipresent. Only God is meant to be omnipotent, omniscient, and sovereign over our lives. We are not. What a relief. We're not meant to have all the answers, nor are we meant to provide all the solutions. That is God's job. We need to stop taking control from Him all the time. It won't bring us any peace and it won't bring us any rest. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says that God, the good shepherd, carries the lambs in His arms. You are carried and held and protected by your Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen to us before you say, I don't feel protected. But you are carried and held, and your Heavenly Father has His arm around your back. And you'll see more of that later. But you're going to need to learn to be still in your life if you want to know this level of peace and trust. So my second point is called made to meditate. We've had made to be dependent and now made to meditate. God's character and His promises are so deep and so wide that we're intended to spend our lives and in fact eternity marveling on them. His words are so rich and powerful and poetic that every time we come to them we see something new. They are true and they are living, and it's as we dwell on them that we are changed. Thinking deeply at a heart level about God's revelation of Himself was important for God's people in the Bible if they were going to trust Him. We're told that Isaac went out to meditate in a field in the evening. He had a lot to think about in his life. He'd nearly been a child sacrifice when he was younger. And that was because of his father's obedience and faith. Even if he managed to come to terms with almost being a child sacrifice, how was he meant to live up to the faith of that father? And how was he going to wait on the promises as the next in line to that inheritance? So he went out to meditate in a field in the evening. I presume that was a regular thing. Somebody else who meditated was Mary, Jesus' mother. We're told that she treasured up all the things that happened to her around the time of Jesus' birth. And she pondered them in her heart. So she treasured these things up. She treasured up what the angel has said, what the visitors said, and what happened to her. And she pondered them in her heart, i.e. she meditated on them. God was preparing her to give up her son as a sacrifice too. Meditation is how we go from the intake of God's word to trust. So my third point, I think on those sheets, if you're writing on that one, it was called a woman or a man after God's own heart. I renamed this section Be Still and Know. So we've had made to be dependent, made to meditate, and now we're going to look at Be Still and Know. King David, described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart, was the expert in meditating on God's word. We see this model time and again in the Psalms. David so often comes into God's presence, venting his anger, his fear, his frustration, and his exhaustion. Even as a reader, I feel like, oh, that's me. And then he stops. He reminds himself of God's character and God's promises. His fears are stilled, and his strivings cease. God taught David how to do this on the battlefield. Psalm 46 is set in the tumult of war. It describes earthquakes and the world just falling apart around David and his men. And right in the midst of it, God commands David, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still can be translated two ways. The first way, be still, means stop fighting. So in the midst of war, with one of the greatest Bible heroes and leaders, the Bible has ever known, probably the world has ever known, God says, stop fighting. And of course, what he means is stop fighting in your own strength. What he's saying to David is the battle is mine, and I've already won it. I am your God, and you can utterly depend on me. The other way to translate be still are found in Jesus' command to the wind and the waves in the storm in the New Testament. Jesus says, "Be still," to the wind and waves, and they immediately die down. Now, this other way of translating be still in that context is literally shut up. So Jesus tells the wind and the waves to shut up. When God commands David to be still and know that I'm God, he's not only saying, stop fighting in your own strength, the battle's mine, I've already won it. He is also saying, stop fighting me. And I think we've had that a couple of times today. Liz talked about, can I let God disagree with me? And in the doubt session, I'm sure we looked at that as well, that we're fighting God in our unbelief, not wanting to hear possibly what he has to say to us because we don't like it. So here God commands David, shut up your own agenda, stop fighting to me, listen to my voice and my wisdom. I know what's best for you because I made you, and you can trust me to lead you. Psalm 119, at the very centre of our Bibles, is all about meditation. The word is mentioned about 10 times. So if you thought you were coming to something kooky and Buddhist, you're not. The Bible was there first. And Psalm 119 shows David to be utterly dependent on the truths of God's word and seeking his lead at every turn, because that was all he could do when he was on the run from Saul. David talks about meditating on God's word night and day. It's a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. It's worth more than silver and gold to him. It's sweeter than honey. It quenches his thirst. It brings him rest. The more God gives us the grace to utterly depend on him in his word, which may well mean taking us through trials, the more he is making us people after his own heart, like King David. We're going to have to learn to be still often, to stop striving in our own strength, and to seek his lead. We're going to have to be still if we are to rest in the assurance that God is God yesterday, today, and forever. In Psalm 27, David shows and knows that this is his only route to peace when he prays the following: "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And this is exactly what I learned to do when God's word was all that I had to depend on during a time of suffering some years back. So point four, essential in suffering. At that time of trial in my life, I read a book that said this: meditating on God's word and memorizing scripture need to be the most important priorities in your life, because only scripture can transform your mind and restore your heart and give you the peace and faith to rise above your circumstances. Psalm 139, which we're going to do our meditation on very shortly, was recommended in that book as first aid for the soul. If you are in the midst of trial and battle, and I know that some of you will be today, I recommend that you prioritize time to dwell in God's word, but specifically in this psalm, every day for at least a fortnight. In fact, in this psalm, every day for at least a fortnight. Sometimes you will come with weeping. Sometimes you will come with fear. Sometimes you will need to wrestle with God over his words. But this is exactly where you will need to be to learn to trust that God is your rock and your fortress, as David knew him to be. So we're going to do this meditation shortly, and if you'd like to take your sheets here, you've got a sheet of instructions. You might want to tear them apart so it's easier to flip from one to the other. And then you've got the psalm. The meditation we're going to do, this one here, is actually 1,000 years old. There are other ways to meditate on God's word, plenty of them. John Piper and Tim Keller have other ways if you want to Google them. Just look up Piper meditation, Keller meditation, you'll find stuff. But this way helps us rest in God's presence, almost as the lamb's being carried in his arms. In four stages, it gets us to read the passage slowly and thoughtfully, then to listen intently to what God has to say to us, to respond to him in prayer, whether that is petition, lament, or praise, thanksgiving, and then to rest in him, to be still and know that he is God. You have a printout of Psalm 139 so that you can write on it, principally. You might want to draw on it, if that's how you express yourself. I would suggest that you would want to possibly underline a verse or two that you would like to learn, and you'll know which verse that is by the time you've finished the meditation. I would also suggest that 12 verses is enough in the half hour I'm going to give you, and I imagine some of you are thinking, half half an hour on 12 verses. Tim Keller's version of meditating is half an hour on one verse. So I'm being really gracious to you today. But if you feel that you want to do the whole psalm, that's not a problem. But really, in order to be still, you need to slow right down. So, I mean, some people only get through three verses in the half hour. Ideally, you'd be somewhere you can take time to be still and alone with God. Ideally, somewhere with a nice view. I'm very fortunate to have a lovely view from my kitchen window, so that's where I sit. That's not possible today, but God is with us here as much as he's with us out in the open or in our own kitchens. We're going to need to be gracious to one another in this next half hour as we turn from sheet to sheet. Don't worry if you need to cough or shift around in your seat, that's fine, or even if you need to get up to go to the toilet. Last week we had lots of babies in the sessions, and they kept crying, and my line there was, don't worry if a baby cries, because that baby may be expressing exactly how you feel before God today. But I can't hear any babies today, so you can express that in the silence of your heart. So we're going to be quiet now for a full 30 minutes. So I make it 25 past, and we're going to be quiet till 5, 2, 3. Is that what I mean? Yeah. And then we'll come back together, and I'd love to hear any reflections or questions you may have. So do jot down if you have a question, or make a big circle if there's something you'd like to share, and we'll have a roving mic at that point. And we had some lovely reflections last week, so don't let those Eastern ladies get the better of you. It'd be lovely to hear how you found it. And if we have any time beyond that, I might share a couple of more practical suggestions, but they actually came up in the questions last week, so we'll probably cover it anyway. So grab a pen. Has everyone got a pen? That would really help you to be able to jot down what you're noticing and experiencing. And we're going to be quiet now for half an hour on Psalm 139.